Amen. I'm thankful for the blood. Amen. Thankful for the Lord in these times. Amen. It's a privilege to be in God's house tonight. If you have your Bibles, turn with me tonight to the book of John. Share with you a real simple message the Lord laid upon my heart. John chapter 3. Everybody knows where I'm going with that, huh? If you've been in church for any time. John chapter 3, reading verse 1 through 16. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. It says this. It says, "There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. 'Rabbi,' he said, 'we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you.' Jesus replied in verse 3, 'I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God.' 'What do you mean?' exclaimed Nicodemus. 'How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again?' Jesus replied, 'I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and of the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. So you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit.' Verse 9, 'How are these things possible?' Nicodemus asked. Jesus replied, 'You are a respected Jewish teacher, and you don't understand these things. I assure you, we tell you what we know and have seen, and you won't believe our testimony. But if you don't believe me when I tell you about earthly things, how can you possibly believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ever gone to heaven and returned, but the Son of Man has come down from heaven.'" We're almost done. Two more verses. "And Moses lifted up the bronze snake on the pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life." And verse 16, we all know what it says. "For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." Let's pray. Father, we come before you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for your spirit that we feel here tonight, Lord. Father, we need your presence, Lord. Father, we need your anointing tonight. I need your anointing, Lord. Help me to get out of the way. Lord, your word is anointed. I pray that you would touch me. Help me to preach what you've laid upon my heart. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. We need Jesus tonight, church. Not how many in the house can say that if I say it again? We need Jesus, amen? We need him now more than ever before. And I want tonight to look at four people in the book of John that needed Jesus. Bear with me just a second. I need to get a drink. And I just made a mess. Sorry about that, Pastor. I didn't realize how dry my throat was until I got up here and started talking. Opening my big mouth, Brother Hewitt. We need Jesus more now than ever before, and I want to look at four people tonight, starting off with Nicodemus. He was a religious man. He was a member of the Pharisees, as we find here in the Bible. He had credentials, amen? He knew the law. He was a Pharisee. He knew what he was talking about. He knew the religion, the Jewish religion. He knew how to act in public, kind of like us Christians, don't we? We know how to do the church part. He knew the Torah and the law inside and out. He knew the part, he dressed the part, and he was the part. You see him walking down the street, Nicodemus, you knew who he was. He was a Pharisee. They had a certain look. They dressed a certain way. On the outside, it looked like this man was successful. He was great, well-educated. He was a rabbi, a lawyer. He was successful. Nicodemus' resume was impressive, but something was missing in his life. All the titles and all the prestige, and something was missing. Still missing. He had an encounter with this man called Jesus, had been a part of the Pharisees, and they encountered Jesus in his ministry. And so no doubt he had had an encounter with him, teaching and listening to him. And something got a hold of him when he met Jesus. He was different than anybody he had ever seen before. This new rabbi was different. He wasn't like the rest of the Pharisees. Something was different, and something was missing in Nicodemus' life. There was something about Jesus. This drove Nicodemus to meet with Jesus privately to see who he was. And that's where we have these verses where the famous John 3:16 comes in. Nicodemus met with Jesus secretly at night because he didn't want the others to see. But something was interesting about Jesus. Something about Jesus he had to have. Something was curious. Something he needed. And so he met with him and began to talk to him. He needed Jesus tonight. How many of us need Jesus? The second person I want to look at tonight We find that Nicodemus needed Jesus, and back up just a little bit. He met Jesus and talked to him, and we find that when Jesus was buried, died and buried, that Nicodemus was there at the foot of, and helping him bury, helping Joseph of Arimathea burying him. He became a follower of Jesus Christ. Second person I want to look at tonight is the woman at the well. Over in John chapter 4, we find that Jesus meets a Samaritan woman at the well. While his disciples, boy, I'm really tongue-tied tonight. That sounded pretty Arkansas language, didn't it? While his disciples were off at Chick-fil-A in the next village getting supper. I thought I'd have some amens there. That's God's food, right? Jesus had sent them down to get some food, and they were over doing the Chick-fil-A thing. Wouldn't take them very long because, man, that's quick service. But they were there. This woman already had two strikes against her. Jesus was there by himself at the well, Jacob's well. This woman comes in, and she's a Samaritan. She's already got two strikes against her. One, she's a woman. And back in that culture, you weren't thought of very much, right, as a woman. No disrespect, but that's the way it was. Second, she was a Samaritan. The Jews and Samaritans didn't get along so much that Jews wouldn't even associate with them and go out of their way. They considered them half unclean and half-breeds. Jews didn't like the Samaritans. Samaritans liked the Jews. So she had two strikes against her. Then here she meets Jesus as she's coming out in the middle of the day. Jesus, the Bible says, was tired from his journey, sitting at the well. Here she comes out. She's coming out in the middle of the day because she's trying to hide from stuff. She's not coming out with the rest of the women. Here she is at daytime, at noon, two strikes against her. And Jesus begins to talk to her. And now she's got two strikes against her. We begin to find out that she's been married five times. And now she's shacked up with this man that's not even her husband. Jesus begins to reveal this to her. Sounds like the old country song, right? Looking for love in all the wrong places was written for her. Golly, I thought I'd have a laugh on that one. Nobody remembers that song. That was back in my heathen days. She was looking for something. She had five marriages, five husbands, five foot-long sandwiches at Subway. No, five times she had been married, thinking this time this is the one. But what she was looking for, she couldn't be found on a relationship here on earth. She was thirsty, church. She was going out to the well like any other day, and her life was a mess. But spiritually, she was thirsty. She needed something to drink in her life, and she was fixing to meet the living water. John chapter 4, verse 10, Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift that God has for you, who you were speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water." He knew spiritually that she was thirsty. She was looking for love in all the wrong places. She had had five marriages. One marriage is hard enough, right? I love my wife, but marriage isn't easy. One's hard enough. She had five failed, and now she was shacked up. She was looking for something. Something wasn't working out. After five marriages, something, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out something's not working out. She was looking for something, and Jesus knew exactly what she needed. And just one encounter with Jesus, and it changed her life forever. This woman left her water jug, and she went to town telling everybody, the Bible says, "Look, come and look who I met, this man named Jesus." She led her whole town to revival because she had an encounter with Jesus. Just like Nicodemus, she had an encounter. Tonight, we need Jesus, church. In this world, we need Jesus. We don't need any other thing but Jesus. He's going to help us get us through these times. Amen? We need Jesus more than we need anything else in our life. Now's the time. We need Jesus. Third person I want to look at tonight is the man at the pool of Bethesda. I probably didn't say that right either. But we find in John chapter 5, a man who had been lame and crippled for 38 years. Bible just says he was crippled for 38 years. I don't know if that was from birth or when he was in his teens and then he got crippled. It doesn't say, but for 38 years he was crippled. He was lame. The Bible says that from time to time, an angel would come down and stir the waters of the pool of Bethesda. And that whoever was the first to get in would be healed miraculously. And so this man sat there. Man, I don't know what's going on with my throat. Stupid devil. I've been fine all day until I get up here. But this angel would stir the waters, and whoever would come in, they'd get healed. And this man sat there for 38 years. He was right on the verge, Pastor, of getting healed. And he had to sit there because nobody would pick him up and get him into the waters. He sat there time after time and watching somebody else get their blessing, get their healing. But then there was this day when Jesus showed up. And Jesus showed up on the scene. And on this day, he wouldn't need to dip into those waters in that pool. He met the living water, amen? He met the waters of life. 38 years, this man needed a miracle, and one encounter with Jesus, and he made him whole. 38 years, this man had a need. It was right there in front of him. And oh, how he longed for somebody to pick him up. But today, Jesus picked him up. This day, Jesus met him and made a miracle out of his life. He had an encounter. This man needed Jesus. You see, the pattern church, we need Jesus. All three of these people had a need, and they met Jesus, and he supplied that need. We need Jesus tonight, church. We need Jesus. The fourth person was the woman caught in adultery in John chapter 8. This woman, we don't have her name. How'd you like to be famous in the Bible as the woman caught in adultery? That's what we know her as. She didn't have a name, but we know what she was caught doing. The Bible says she was caught in the very act of sin. She was dragged out in front of a whole audience to see her. Her accusers were trying to use her to trick this rabbi named Jesus, this new teacher on the scene. They were trying their best to fool him every chance they got. They were trying to trick him, trip him up. And here they had it. They thought, man, we've got it good. We found this woman. First of all, they're a bunch of perverts out looking, catching her in the act. But they caught her in the act, and they drug her and threw her down at Jesus' feet. How many of you tonight just love to have your sins exposed to everyone? I didn't see a single hand. Nobody likes that, do we? Nobody wants your sin. We don't even like confessing them to the Lord sometimes. We like to keep them hidden. But the Bible says when you keep things hidden, you need to bring them out into the light. Because if you keep them hidden, they're going to stay there. And that's where the enemy's going to have a heyday. But if you bring them into the light and expose it to the light, things begin to clear up. The Lord begins to touch you. This woman had been caught in the very act. And here she was, thrown in front of all these leaders. She was probably barely even dressed. The Bible says they caught her in the act. They probably just grabbed her. Barely even dressed, embarrassed. Nobody ever wants that. Yet this happened to her. Embarrassed and shame. Who knows if she was the one cheating on her husband or her husband was cheating on his wife. Who knows? The Bible doesn't give us those details, so we don't know. The Bible doesn't give us that information, but nevertheless, she was caught red-handed. She was guilty. That we know. It may have never crossed her mind that she would be caught that day. But now she stood in front of these religious leaders and this new rabbi who was on the scene. And here she was. Halfway naked probably, cold, embarrassed, her sins exposed. So no doubt she knew what was coming. She knew the law probably. She knew that what punishment was by a stoning, by a caught in adultery, that she was fixing to die. And can you imagine being cold and embarrassed and ashamed and ridiculed? How many like to be ridiculed when you've sinned? We like to have it come under the blood. I know when I sin, I like to come to the cross. I like to run to the Father. That's called conviction in the Holy Spirit when He's in your life. And if we ever get away from that, that's a tough place to be. That's a rough place to be. But as Christians, when we feel that conviction, man, we want to run to the Lord and ask for His forgiveness. And here she was, embarrassed and caught and fixing. Can you imagine fixing to brace for that first stone that was coming at her as she waited for these rabbis and this new rabbi for the judgment? She knew she was caught. She was looking for something in her life that she couldn't find anywhere else. But this one man in this relationship, and she thought this relationship would satisfy her, but now here she was, fixing to die. Can you see her again, church, as she waits judgment? She begins to embrace for that first stone, yet what Jesus did next changed her life forever. He offered her forgiveness. She was fixing to get a stone, and he ask her accusers, first of all, if you're guilty, anybody's guilty of any sin, pick up the stone and begin to throw it at her. The Bible says that one by one they dropped those stones, and it was just her and Jesus. And he forgave her. He didn't. The sin was still there, but he forgave her tonight, church. He had an encounter. She had an encounter with Jesus. He offers forgiveness. He put the religious leaders in their place. She needed Jesus. We don't need more religion, church. We got enough of that going around. We need Jesus. We need a church that serves Jesus, that's on fire in these days, in these last days. That's what the world's looking for. The world's not looking for judgment. They're looking for something. They're looking for Jesus. They don't know it. That's what they're looking for. All these people out rioting and asking for civil rights and all this stuff.
They may get that, and that may satisfy them. They may tear down a statue, or they may cause problems, and that may satisfy them for a second or two, but it's not going to fulfill them because there's something in their belly that's making them hungry, and they may do this, and they may loot, and they may get bills passed, but that's not going to satisfy them at the end of the day. Only Jesus will satisfy them and take away that longing. All four of these folks came from different walks of life that I've talked to you tonight. All four were searching for something that was missing in their life. All four needed Jesus. Church, we need Jesus. You didn't hear me tonight. We need Jesus. We need Jesus tonight, church. Unless you have been hiding in the cave for the last 3.5 months. And if you have, I want to know where that cave is so I can go in there and hide a little bit too. But unless you've been hiding in the cave and not know what's going on, this world's crazy. This world's a mess. And we need Jesus right now. Just when you think things can't get any crazier, the new month comes around. I mean, we're 2 or 3 days from July, and we're embracing. What's July going to look like? I seen a meme the other day that said, "All right, July, I want you to come in, sit down, shut up, and don't say a word." I seen another meme that said, had some people standing behind a wall, and they had a long rod, and the door said July, and they were slowly opening it. That's where we're at. What's coming next? We need Jesus tonight, church. COVID-19, we all know what that is. Protests, riots, violence, murder hornets. Just kidding. That's not very scary. Just an internet thing. Hasn't made it our way yet. Dust storms. Who knows what next? It's safe to say, guys, church, we need Jesus. It's easy to look around our world and just give up. See all these protesters and see, you know, nothing wrong with protesting. That's our right as Americans. The violence is when you cross the line. But seeing what all they're doing, tearing down our country, tearing down the world. And we, you know, you see, if you're a law-abiding citizen of the United States and you love our country, where there's nothing wrong with being a patriot, fixing to celebrate July 4th, nothing wrong with that. God gave us this country. Men and women have died for that flag. There's nothing wrong with being a patriot. And you see people burning the flag, and you see people tearing down things, it boils my blood a little bit. And, I want to just say, you know what? Let them go to hell. Let them burn. Let them get their judgment when they stand before God. But as a Christian, I'm called not to be that way. It sounds, folks are getting mean and hateful, turning on each other. Sounds a lot like what the Bible says the end times will be like, doesn't it, church? The safest and easiest thing for me as a Christian would be to just say, like I said a while ago, the easiest thing for me to be to just sit at home and pray for my family and the church family and say whatever else happens to the rest of the world, let them, they deserve it. You'll reap what you sow. Good luck. That's the easy thing to do, church. Sit on my pew, go to my job, and wait for Jesus to come. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Who cares as long as my family makes it? But as a Christian, church, we're not called to that. There's a statement right now that says, that I'm going to say, all lives matter. If I say that in certain groups tonight, they'd call me a racist. But church, that's biblical. All lives matter tonight. There's not a single race. It's the human race. We all come from Adam and Eve. You don't believe that, you don't believe your Bible. Every one of us came from Adam and Eve. We all bleed red. All lives matter. We all need Jesus. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:14, since we believe Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. Did you get that? All lives matter tonight, church. All lives. It means everybody. It means the drunk, even though he's drunk. It means the prostitute, even though they're in a sexual sin. The thief, the murderer. You know, those are the highlights. Those are the ones we like to pick off and say, we like to call them. What about the coworker next to you that you can't stand, that drives you crazy? It's living a sinful life. The person that cut you off in traffic and gave you the bird, and I'm not talking about the St. Louis Cardinals bird, Pastor. We know what that bird is. What about that person? Did Christ die for them? At the moment in traffic, you're thinking, no, he did not. I hope he reaps what he sows. What about the people we rub shoulders with every day out in public? You know, what day was it? It's Friday. We had to go down to Springdale and make a run an errand, and I ran into Casey's there on a 412, and, man, the line was backed up. I don't know. I had one cashier in there, and I think she was going as slow as she could, and there's probably like 10, 12 people backed up, and I was in a hurry. I had to be at a place by 5 o'clock, and man, I was just sitting there thinking, come on, let's get with it. I had my drink in hand. I look over, and there's this guy right by the door, and he had 2 energy drinks and a bag of chips, and all of a sudden, he just throws them down right there and walks off, and I'm thinking, man, you idiot. That's what I thought. It's not her fault. And then he just slammed him down, left him there, and walked out. I'm thinking, man, he doesn't deserve that. He doesn't deserve grace. He does, though. But we all have that. And what I'm trying to say is we all have that moment where, like, forget them. They're idiots. What about the punk kid whose pants are hanging down around his ankles? Christ loves them, right? What about the girl who's covered in tattoos and piercings all on her nose? The gay and lesbians, the transgenders. Does God love them? Or are they cast aside? He loves them too. What about the doctor who performs abortions? God still loves him. The drug dealer. What about the tax cheater? What about the human traffickers? What about a liar? All the world, church. You see, it's real easy to get tunnel vision and just see my church and just see my family and say, you know what? I don't want anybody else to make it, or just as long as we make it. But that's not what Christ has called us to. In John 3:16, the Bible says that he loved the whole world. Even though this world is messed up and we see people on TV doing crazy things, God still loves them. Where's the church? Why aren't we out there praying for those people? I know it's scary, be out those protesters, but I didn't see any Christians. You know, if we say God is our protector, I didn't see a Christian out there. You say, well, that's scary. Yeah, it's scary, and I wasn't out there either. I was scared to death, too, if they would have came to my town. But where's the church? We sit back. Suddenly, I hear crickets. Where's the church? God loves the whole world. We need Jesus tonight, church. It's time we declare to the world we're not ashamed of the gospel, like Paul said, of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it's the good news. Right now, scientists all over the world are racing to find a cure for COVID-19. They're searching for a vaccine. They're searching everywhere to try to come up with this cure. And you and I tonight, church, we have the cure for all of life's problems. You and I have the cure, and it's Jesus. It's Jesus. We don't need to offer money, anything else but Jesus. He will cure it all. He will take care of it. You and I, the church, we have the cure for life's problems. The world needs Jesus, and what are we doing about it? There's an old saying, and you've heard this. You can lead a horse to water, but what? Can't make him drink. But you can fill his oats with salt, and you can make him thirsty. Think about that. You can lead a horse to water and you can't make him drink, but you can take his feed, put salt in it, and it makes him thirsty. I think Jesus said something about being the salt of the earth, didn't he? He said that we are the salt and the light. Church, if the world's going to be thirsty, it's because of us. In this time, people are looking at us. People are seeing, what are we doing? Are we salt? Are we light? Are we making people hungry and thirsty for Jesus, or are we making them run after the things of the world? Are they so thirsty that when they come to the water, they're going to drink? In closing tonight, Noah. I can't help but think of Noah and his time. For 100 years, people were watching him build the ark. They watched day and night. It never rained, Bible says. A mist came up from the ground, and they didn't know what rain was. But Noah built this ark. And they lived in a place where there was no flood or, no big, huge lakes or anything like that. So this man was crazy building this boat out in the middle of nowhere. But as he built the boat, he preached, there's a flood coming. And they laughed. They did their own thing. The Bible said, Jesus said that they drank and they got married and they did what all they wanted to do up until the time of the flood. They had a chance to get on that boat, and yet they watched. I don't know about you, but if I was alive back then and I saw every animal coming two by two, if I got up one day and I seen this crazy man building an ark, building a boat, and all of a sudden I seen the animals coming two by two, I hope to think I would have got on that boat. It's not just every day you see animals coming in on a boat. Every animal on the planet, you say, no, that's crazy, I don't believe that. The Bible says it, I believe it. Every animal came on that ark. They didn't heed the signs. Jesus said they were eating and drinking and marrying right up to the time the rain started to fall. Sound familiar to our day and time? When the floodwaters began to rise, suddenly the people wanted to be on that boat. They watched for 100 years, and then suddenly when the rain fell, they wanted to be on that boat. They wanted a ticket. And as the rains came, the floods came, the Bible says that God shut that door. The Bible says that when God shuts the door, no man can open. See Revelation 3:7. That door was shut. Can you imagine tonight? Can you go with me in your imagination? Can you see the screams of the people as the floodwaters begin to rise? As mamas and daddies grab their kids trying to swim? You ever try to swim with somebody? When kids were little, trying to swim with them, I about drowned myself trying to swim with them sometimes. It's hard to drive, unless you're an awesome swimmer, it's hard to carry somebody. Can you imagine people, families, babies, hear the waters begin to rise? There comes a point when the water gets up like the flood, you can't stand on anything else. So you're in the water, and you can't get on the boat. The door's shut. Can you imagine hearing moms and dads pounding on the doors, asking and begging, Noah, let me in. Let my baby, just take my baby. Just take my child. Don't take me. Can you imagine the screams of the people? But that door was shut. They had an opportunity, and it was shut. Parents treading water with their kids in their hands, begging Noah, please, please help me. Church, the day is coming when the door is going to shut. Pastor's been preaching about it. Trumpet's going to sound, and it's going to be too late. He's been preaching wonderful messages. And have you noticed the theme? We need to get ready. Christ is coming for his bride. He's coming to take his bride. You know, you remember for you husbands when you got married, man, you couldn't wait to marry that bride, right? Take that bride for yourself. That's exactly where Jesus is at. He's waiting. Pastor preached on that a little bit. He's just waiting for God to say, okay, go get your bride. We're his bride, church. We need Jesus tonight. If you'll stand with me. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. There was this young man one time who was in a lake. He went out to a lake by himself, and he was swimming. And he went out a little too far in the water. Got over his head, and he began to drown. He began to holler, help! Somebody help me! Somebody help me! And suddenly a man who was walking on the shore saw him, threw out a lifesaver rope, and saved the man, pulled him to shore. A few years went by. This man got into trouble with the law, got into drugs, stole a vehicle, got caught and put in jail. The day came for his court date, and he had to go to court and stand before a judge. As he was standing there waiting for his sentencing, he looked up at the judge, and suddenly he recognized the judge. It was the man who saved him so many years ago when he threw out the lifeline. He said, oh, honor, do you remember me? I'm the young man that you saved in the lake several years ago from drowning. The judge looked down at him. He said, young man, yesterday I was your savior, but today I'm your judge. Church, today he's our savior. One of these days, we're going to stand before our judge. We're going to give account for all we've done. I want him to say, enter in thy good and faithful servant. I don't want him to say, depart from me. I never knew you. What are we doing tonight, church? This sermon was for me, if nothing else. I need to get off my lazy rear end and be a light and be a salt to the world. There's people dying, just like in the days of Noah. There's people that are not going to make it. There's people I work with every day that I just get along with. And even the ones I don't get along with, they're not going to make it. They're good people. And I haven't shared the gospel with them like I could or like I should. The person at Walmart, the person at the drive-thru, church, there's people that are not going to make it. And what are we doing about it? I want you tonight, if you'll bow your heads with me, I want you to think of one person tonight. one person in your life that you know of. Maybe it's more than one person. It's probably, truth be told, there's more. That one person, you got them tonight in your mind, and I want us to pray for that person or those people. That God will use us in these next few days. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. We don't know what July is going to look like. But we do know that Jesus is in control. We do know that He's on the throne, and we can put our trust in Him. Will you pray with me tonight? Father, we come before You, Jesus. We thank You, Lord, that You are our Savior. You're our Redeemer, that You died upon the cross for our sins, Lord, that You so loved the world, God, that You gave Your only begotten Son. And Lord, we thank You tonight that You are our Savior. And right now, there's still time, because that trumpet hasn't sounded, even though, Lord, it could sound at any moment. Lord, we just wait for that sound. But Lord, until it sounds, Lord, there's still time to preach the gospel, to reach out to the lost. And Lord, this world is messed up, and You see it, and You know it. And Lord, help us. Help me, Lord, to be a better servant, Lord. Help me to be a better witness. Lord, help me to stop being so selfish. Lord, help me to be a light. Help me to be the salt. Lord, when I walk into Walmart or walk into the grocery store, wherever it is, Lord, that give me help me to look for people, Lord, that need You, Lord, instead of just being about my business. Like Sister Melissa preached a couple Sundays ago. Lord, we're all guilty for that. Lord, pray for our families that are lost, Lord. Children that are lost. Adults, parents. Lord, we need You tonight. I pray, Father, that we'll see a harvest tonight. Lord, we'll see people come in. Lord, they'll get saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. And Lord, they'll make the ark of safety before it's too late. Father, be with us. We praise You and thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.
I don't know about you.
Yeah, I do.